You are listening to 89.5 KPOO San Francisco, and welcome to Reality Sandwich, where every Thursday at noon we serve up a palatable taste of the truth on topics of the mind, the body, our planet, our economy, all six areas of the Healthful Living Model, and you can read more about that at healthfulliving.org. My name is Martin Matthews. I'm a certified clinical and medical hypnotherapist and Healthful Living advocate with Healthful Living, and I am here today in the studio with a friend and past guest of Reality Sandwich, and he's going to be my co-host today, Michael White.
Thank you for having me on the show, Martin.
So today, we are going to step way, way back and take a big, big picture at our broader reality of what we human beings are co-creating here on planet Earth. We speak about various subjects from week to week on Reality Sandwich, whether it's the health of our minds, our body, our planet, various areas, in order to help each and every one of us raise greater insight into the broader reality that our particular actions affect everything that shows up for us in the world. And clearly we're living today in a world where many of us look around and go, boy, a lot of things aren't working very well. A lot of things aren't working very well, whether it's global warming, whether it's the degradation of our economy, whether it's the ill health of our collective society, whether it's the ill health of the minds of the masses. In all different areas, a lot of things are breaking down. A few months ago, I was walking around various places in the Bay Area. Perhaps it was Rainbow Grocery or a few other places, and I saw a poster up for a talk that's going to be taking place this Sunday at the Palace of Fine Arts by a gentleman by the name of Benjamin Krem. And the poster said the 11th hour, and it talked about the state of the world affairs and the various challenges that our human existence is facing here on the planet. And it really spoke to me because this is something that I've been curious about really all of my life and that we speak about here weekly on the show. So I had the opportunity to connect with this gentleman and learn more about his teachings, his work, his information, and to my surprise and delight, learn that he's been talking about this for a long time, longer actually than I've even been around. So with that said, I just felt compelled to try to get him on the show and speak a little bit about and share some of his wisdom. So today we have on the line, just waiting to come on, Benjamin Krem. He's a British artist, futurist, longtime student of the Aegis Wisdom Teachings. He's become the principal source of information about the emergence of Maitreya, the world teacher. And we're going to learn more about that in just a few moments. What is Maitreya? Mr. Krem lectures by invitation throughout Europe, North America, and the Pacific Rim. He's regularly interviewed on radio and television. In fact, at his website, shareinternational.org, which we'll also learn more about, I recently was able to download and watch an interview with Mr. Krem on the Merv Griffin Show about 25 years ago. So he's been out there for quite a while. He's written 13 books, most of which have been translated and published into numerous languages, and he is the editor of Share International, a monthly magazine read in over 70 countries. And one of the major things that he's speaking about is that great teachers have appeared at the beginning of each new planetary cycle or age to offer teachings that will stimulate our next evolutionary step for humanity. Examples being Confucius, Krishna, Buddha, Muhammad, or Christ. And I can't think of a more compelling time in our human history, and certainly I feel it's compelling because I'm living in it right now and I'm feeling it and sensing it, where we are certainly in need of, for lack of a better term, divine insight or information. And whether that divine information comes from an individual or some collective conscious source, we don't really know, but I certainly think that we're living in a time where our ears need to be open to it. So it's with that humble perspective that I'm curious and fascinated to connect with a gentleman who has been sharing this knowledge and insight for many, many years. And Michael, before we bring Benjamin on, I just wanted to share a little bit, if we can hear from you, kind of your background and how it is that you're curious here today to connect in with this information.
Well, Martin, you approached me very synchronistically about being on the show today, and it's synchronistic because I have been sort of pondering very recently the identity of this being known as Maitreya, how such a being, a world teacher, may be manifesting in the world, how the work of such a being or an energy, whether it's a spiritual energy or something embodied in a human form, may be manifesting in the world. So I'm just very curious, very interested to see what Benjamin Krim has to say about this and to hear the newest and the latest.
Well, thank you for being with me today, Michael. And with that curiosity on my behalf and on the behalf of our listeners, let's welcome to the show, I hope he's on the line, Benjamin Krim, calling in from London. Are you there?
I'm here, yes, indeed.
Thank you, sir. It's a delight to have you on the line. Thank you for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Now, firstly, you have been sharing your message consistently and honestly and forthrightly now for many, many years.
Yes, it's over 30. I don't know what it is. 30-something years, yeah.
Well, I want to thank you, firstly, for serving humanity in that way. And I'd like you to speak a little bit about, really, what right now... We are in the 11th hour. I think we all kind of agree that the world is in crisis. And you've observed quite a lot of the development of that crisis over the last 30, 40, 50 years, at least the acceleration of it. Can we hear from you kind of your perspective on you know, where the world is at right now?
Well, what we're really experiencing is that there are tremendous new energies in the world, and people are responding to them in their various ways. And this is because we are entering, as most people will have heard, they may not know how it comes about, but they will have heard that we are entering a new age, a new cosmic cycle. And this is not a fantasy, this is a hard scientific astronomical fact. It is the result of the movement of our solar system round the heavens in relation to the constellations of the zodiac. Our sun, with its planets, makes such a journey in space which takes roughly 25 to 26,000 years to complete. It's like a circular motion of the constellations of the zodiac. And as it does so, the sun comes sequentially in a certain energetic relationship, an alignment between each of the constellations in turn. And when the sun, we are in, when the solar system, our solar system is in that alignment, we say we are in the age of whatever is the particular constellation. For the last 2,150 years, that alignment has been with the constellation of Pisces, so we say we were in the age of Pisces. Now the sun has moved on, has come to an end of the experience of Pisces and therefore of the energies sent from Pisces during this alignment, and is now entering, and is well entered into, the next constellation in turn, which is the constellation of Aquarius. So, to use the well-known phrase, we are in the age of Aquarius. You know, we even write songs about it, shops are called after it, and so on. And this is scientific. You can prove this by a visit to any observatory. But the whole thing has been sort of mystified, and the media have cottoned on to it through New Age groups who have been postulating this New Age concept without understanding what's really involved. It's an energetic alignment. And what is happening is that the energies of Pisces, which have dominated our life over the last 2,150 years or so, are now receding and losing power and potency and therefore effect on humanity. And the energies of Aquarius are coming in faster and faster, more and more potency, as the sun moves on in its journey round the constellations. And today, the energies of Pisces began to recede in 1625, and the energies of Aquarius began to come in 1675. And today, we can say that they are roughly, not exactly, but roughly, equal in intensity, and therefore on their effect on humanity. And this is our problem. If one or the other energy, either Piscean or Aquarian or something else, dominated, we would have a simpler life. It would be easier to solve our problems. What is really the result is that people in the world are either Piscean in their consciousness, looking backwards, trying to hold on to the old structures, political, economic, religious, social, scientific, cultural, and so on, of Pisces, as they see them weakening, as the energies are withdrawn from them. These structures are there, we are living with them, but they're meaningless in a sense. They're no use to humanity, who have moved on into Aquarius. The energies of Aquarius are coming in, mounting in potency, but the structures are not yet there to embody them and give a shape to the future for humanity.
Mm.
And so we are in a quandary. The governments of the world are, all of them, without exception, working with the old energies, the old ways. They're trying to live in the present and the future with the structures and the ways of working, the operandi, the ways of being and working as has been done for the last 2,000 years. I mean, this is a broad view. Say, over the last 200 years even, the energies and the mode of operating and governing within them of Pisces would have been familiar enough and equal enough to the task of restructuring. But in fact, they are now defunct. They no longer serve humanity. But at the same time, we don't know where to go because we sense that something else is round the corner. We're aiming at different things, and humanity gradually, more and more, the bulk of humanity, are searching and feeling towards some new and better structure. And so we're in the midst of the most difficult time when this great cosmic event is taking place.
Mm.
The old structures don't work, but we don't have new structures to replace them yet. We will, of course, construct the new institutions, the new politics, the new economics, and so on, but that takes time. And we're only just beginning the age of Aquarius and have no longer got the ways and means of working correctly, relating together correctly, and so you have the chaos which we have in the world.
Yes. So this is clearly going on at the astronomical level and evidently very clear to see playing out across our world in many different arenas, whether it's our leadership or whether it's... I mean, one of the major issues you speak of here is this notion that we don't feed all the people on our planet.
No.
Yeah? How does that... I mean, it's a simple yet powerful notion.
It means that the structure, the economic structure that we have built up over the centuries doesn't work anymore. If you've got millions of people starving to death in a world with a huge surplus of food per capita, then obviously our political and our especially economic structures do not serve humanity any longer and must be replaced. But guess what? People have not yet found the secret, found the wherewithal that will bring a more just and equal structure about that will serve the needs of humanity for the next 2,500 years or so of the age of Aquarius. And we're in the middle of this period of transition, and that is the most difficult place where we could be. So people who are in incarnation, and I have to tell you now, the whole thing involves incarnation and reincarnation. We are in the middle now of trying to solve this problem with a huge section of humanity living in the past to all intents and purposes, because that's all they know and that's all they want. It's satisfied their and their forebears' needs for the last 2,000 years, but it doesn't serve humanity.
Mm.
The great magnet, the cosmic magnet, sweeps humanity forward and nothing can withstand it. But they try to withstand it. So they have wars, they have starvation in the midst of plenty, and all the horrors of today, all the unjust structures, all the lack of freedom, all the terrible problems which humanity puts itself through. I mean, I'm not blaming any particular person, but the world is divided between those who are satisfied with the old ways and trying to keep them going, and those, usually younger people, who are looking to the future and want different ways, see different ways to live together sanely, without wars, without injustice, but living in a constructive way, working together, cooperating together to build a new structure, something entirely new, which they can only feel, but not envision and put into effect. Mm. So it requires assistance from some higher source.
Mm.
And my information is that higher source is here, beginning to be here in the world, and can show humanity the way. Not all will respond to it because they're still holding on to the past. But the bulk of humanity will respond gradually and start the business of restructuring the world.
I'd like to hear a little bit more about that in just a second, because certainly we all do need a beacon of hope. When we look around today, there's, misery loves company, and it's become so easy for we humans to get stuck and mired in a disempowering personal stance that we can't affect things and things aren't going our way and it's, you know, there's really nothing that we can do. And unfortunately I see that pervading in certain pockets and people, you know, opting out of their own personal choice and ability to influence things because it just seems to be, you know, there's always more attendees at the pity party than the hope party, unfortunately. But I also personally sense that is, as you say, and as clearly as evidenced by my own life's work, that is shifting now because those notions of hope, those notions of belief in a better way, those notions in, what is an innately human way of being and what is just and what is right in the world does exist within all of us. It just gets stifled, and it gets stifled by an environment that we are a player in, even if we don't really have an affinity for what we're creating, we feel stuck in it. You have declared yourself, and you are, a worldwide messenger of hope, and for many years you have been connected into some information about this broader divine plan for the planet. So if you could give us a little bit of background about Maitreya, what is Maitreya, what is this energy, where is this information coming from, and what is this perspective bringing to us here on planet Earth?
Yeah, behind the everyday world, unknown to the vast majority of humanity, but known to, a sizable minority, have lived for countless millennia, a group of, from our point of view, total saints, absolutely evolved to a point where it's hard to imagine they're not gods. And in fact, they have come to a point in their evolution where they don't have to be on this earth anymore. But luckily for us, many of them elect to stay on the planet to oversee the evolution of the rest of us and the lower kingdom. And these different names are given to this group. I'm going to call them the Masters of Wisdom, because that is the name generally used to describe them. They make up what I would call the spiritual hierarchy of our planet. I say hierarchy because it is, in fact, a hierarchy. There are masters of a certain level, masters of higher levels, and masters who are so high they're like gods. But they have no... I'm using the word hierarchy not in the usual political sense. They have no political standing. They have no power over anybody. It's simply that they have mastered their own being. They have mastered and come into control of their own their own evolution, and taken upon themselves the responsibility for acting, as it were, as the inner government of the planet. They're not the government in the sense that they pass laws and we've got to obey them. Not that, but they are guides. They are reassurers for humanity, and they have been there behind the scenes for countless, from the beginning of the human evolution on planet Earth, they and their predecessors. So they go back for countless thousands of years. But they are very difficult to know. It's only possible to know them when you become useful to them. And they don't disturb the bulk of us because we're not particularly useful to them. In a world sense, in the sense of helping to change the Earth. But way back in 1959, I was contacted by a man who told me I was receiving communications from the Masters, about whom I had read and I knew about them. And I said, no, I'm not. He said, well, yes, you are, and I have been sent to tell you that you are. Well, I had no sense that this was true. I didn't hear anything. They normally use a telepathic rapport, which means they communicate with each other and with those disciples in the world, men and women in the world, who have the telepathic capacity. He said, well, the messages come to you, but they just bounce off you. I said, why is that? He said, because you're not open. Whatever that meant, I said, I don't know, I believe in the Masters, but I'm not looking for, I didn't expect any kind of contact with them. He says, well, don't worry, it'll come, it'll settle down. And maybe because I've just been told, within about 6 weeks, 5 or 6 weeks, the first message came to me. It was on the 3rd of January, 1959, about 6 weeks after I'd been told. And it was late at night, it was about 11:30 at night, and suddenly it was as if an energy had been placed in my mind, or something happened in my brain. All my own thoughts disappear. My attention, my awareness was lifted up several notches, and a very clear space was created in my mind, and into that space came a message as clear as your, clearer than your voice over the telephone. And it said, very simply, it said, go to one of the bridges. If you know London, it's Blackfriars Bridge. Go to Blackfriars Bridge, Blackheath side, that's the south side, and then it gave me a date. It was about 3 weeks ahead, March, January 18th, 9:30 p.m. I quickly wrote all this down, and at the time, stated the 18th, I went to Blackfriars Bridge and walked over the bridge. And at the far end of it was empty. It's an area which is a business area, so it's very quiet at night. There was nobody about, but there was a car waiting at the far end of the bridge. And I went up to it and looked in to the car. There were some people in it I didn't know. But one of them was the man who had come and told me that I was receiving communications from the Masters. And the whole thing started from there. Mm. That Master told me to get a tape recorder. I got a little Grundig portable. And he began to give me long dissertations, which I simply mouthed as I heard them onto the microphone and recorded. And in this way, he was strengthening and elaborating our telepathic rapport until it became two-way with equal ease. And then in March of that year, suddenly he said, now, switch off the machine and kneel down. Now he said, now, our master, Maitreya himself, has something important to tell you. Now, Maitreya is the master of all the masters. He is so advanced. He is so pure. He can embody what we call the Christ principle, the energy of love. So he is the embodiment of the love energy of God, the Lord of love. And he is the head and leader of all the masters of our spiritual hierarchy. They're not all concerned with the human evolution, but of those who are concerned with the human evolution, he is the head and leader. And I knelt down, and then I was swept up in the most extraordinary energy, something I had never felt before. It was so powerful, and my heart melted, turned over. I was filled with the love of all the world. And tears rolled down my cheeks, but I didn't feel any kind of torment or anything. It was just tears of joy. And I was given a view of how the masters see time. I was shown I was like in a big sphere of white light, and if I looked to the right, I could see all the events of the past, which were still taking place. Although they were the past, and I knew them to be the past, they were still actively taking place, rank after rank after rank, back and back and back in time. And if I looked to the left, I could see all the events of the future, which had not taken place yet, but which were taking place as I looked. And that's how the masters see what we call time. They say there is no such thing as time. There is only now. The eternal now and past and present and future are all taking place simultaneously. And the masters make forecasts ahead, predictions, because they already see the events, the trends, which make it possible for that prediction to come true. It's not like they're just reading the records or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's that they actually see the events taking place. And can say that in time, unless humanity do something that changes the event, that will eventuate.
Well, so, Benjamin, I have a question for you. This is Michael. And just according to all the information you have received from the Masters of Wisdom, from Maitreya, is everything going according to plan?
Yes, it's a good question. Everything, despite all the contradictions, despite all the appearances, all the things that seem to limit the possibility of a pleasant or a just and a acceptable human outcome to the present dilemma and divisions in the world, yes, the plan is working out better than anyone thinks possible. Maitreya has said again and again, all will be well. All manner of things will be well. And if questioned, always says no. And I'm in touch on a moment-to-moment basis with one of the masters, not with Maitreya, but with one of the masters.
Can you tell us who that is?
Is it going well? He says yes, despite all the events. You see, if we look at the world, we see only Iraq, Afghanistan, starving millions, all the problems of our own personal lives and so on, all the difficulties of making a living, of, for some people just of getting enough to eat or to feed your family with, all the births and deaths and calamities of life, all the physical disturbances, you know, earthquakes and all the rest of it. Despite all of that, the world is getting better, people are getting wiser and more spiritual en masse, not just a few individuals, but en masse, and literally millions of people are standing on the verge of one of the great the first of the great expansions of consciousness, which make the difference between an ordinary man and a working disciple. The last few lives of our evolutionary process are covered by five great expansions of consciousness, which we call the planetary initiations. And each one gives the disciple a deeper and deeper insight into the evolutionary process, into the mind of the Logos, the great heavenly man who ensouls this planet, our nearest idea of God. He is not God in the ultimate sense, but he is a God working within a greater God who is the embodying the sun, which is working and through part of a greater God at the center of our own galaxy, and so on, infinitely, on and on, you know, into infinity. We're all, the whole of life is that kind of hierarchy of consciousness. And we can work on it and become more conscious of it, of our own, and develop it, or we can sit back and let life after life flow by, doing little or nothing to speed it up. But at the basis of all our planetary life are two great laws, fundamental laws of life. One is, put so simply by Jesus 2,000 years ago, but forgotten practically because it's so simply put. He said, as you sow, so shall you reap. That is the fundamental law of our existence, the great law of cause and effect, or the law of karma, as they call it in the East. Every thought, every action which we make sets in motion a cause. The effects stemming from these causes make our lives, for good or for ill. And that's the fundamental. Related to that is the law of rebirth, reincarnation. That law of rebirth allows every individual who is born into the world the opportunity to function and grow and to die and to come back again as a new personality, to take up the thread of his life from the previous one and develop and emerge eventually as a totally perfected master. That allows us to redress all the ills of the past, to make good what we have done in a destructive way of the past, and eventually to rule out all of that out, to qualify every ill deed by a positive good deed, and so go on in life unstructured, free, and in this way the world becomes stronger through the growth of disciples who are consciously working in this direction.
Absolutely. People consciously working in that direction. And that's what really strikes me about your message as a messenger of hope, is that this is completely free, and these notions and these qualities and these things that we speak of are all inherently human, and they're completely free of any cognitively created religious construct, per se. It's completely beyond that. It's looking broader at us as a manifested physical human race here, and how are our innate ways of being, as taught by great leaders, whether it's Christ or Buddha or Muhammad, or I mean, there's such similarities, and I think more of us are learning across the planet today the similarities between these varied groups that have become so separated in our physical world, but seemingly so connected in the broader spiritual sense. And I do feel that we're living in a time of broader awakening. We have more information now about each other, about the planet, about our history, and it seems that we're able to bring that information to help educate our present moment about how we choose to be, each of us as an individual or in groups and cities and collectives and companies. I mean, all these different types of collective consciousnesses all seem to be evolving as well, and seemingly, you know, connecting into their innate human programming of inherent goodness.
I quite agree. And, it begins as a single human response to stimulus, the stimulus of higher energies. These energies don't act just like, you know, stimulating you, like if you get a shot that gives you a stimulus, you can run 100 yards in 10 seconds. Not that kind of energy. These energies, which we live in an energetic universe, and these energies are different in quality, different in kind, and produce different effects as they impinge on humanity. The energies of Pisces had the effect of dividing humanity. They gave us the quality we call individuality, which is a tremendous step forward for humanity. And they also gave us the quality of devotion or idealism. But the devotion, the idealism, because of the marked individuality, was always our own idealism about ourselves or our nation or our group, our family, or whatever, but always self-oriented. The result has been the divisions which characterize the world today, and the antagonism, competition which lies at the root of this. Everybody, every nation is in competition with everybody else.
Mm.
And this is the opposite of the life process. The life process is about cooperation. And when you get a group who can cooperate, you do a better job.
Absolutely.
And so that's what is missing today. But the energies of Aquarius, which are mounting in potency, and affecting nearly half of humanity, are precisely the energies of synthesis and will inevitably draw humanity together more and more.